This is the Amp Hour Podcast. Recorded June 22nd, 2016. Episode 304. Alexa joins the fray.
Welcome to the Amp Hour. I'm Dave Jones from the EEV blog.
And I'm Chris Gamble of Contextual Electronics.
Take two.
Take two. Man, I friggin' hate Wi-Fi.
You know, this is the thing. Every guest, Wi-Fi sucks, don't use it. Wi-Fi sucks, don't use it. And then what does Chris do today? Uses Wi-Fi, and we've been dicking around for half an hour trying to get something working.
Here's the thing. Okay, this is actually a good topic because, well, first off, all these devices that are Wi-Fi based, we'll talk about that in a second. But the main thing is that, like, you don't expect to see the Wi-Fi, you know, like, or rather, I don't expect to see the modem. I actually ended up pulling the LAN cable out of the television in order to plug into my laptop. So, like, I'm in an Airbnb. This is not like it's an unknown. Like, this is just it is an unknown, rather. It's not like this is somewhere I'm usually at. This is, yeah. LAN, wires still win. This is our argument for a lot of things.
Tell me about it. We're having our federal election is in a week and a half or something, right?
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. So we're going to elect a new government, kick out the current bastards and put new bastards in. And the big thing, as it was in our last federal election like 3 years ago and before that.
Oh, the broadband stuff?
Our national broadband network, right?
Yeah, you guys got to do that, man.
I know. Well, we are, but they're doing it the wrong way. And the current government's saying, oh, we can use copper, and oh, we can use Wi-Fi too. Wi-Fi is wonderful. It's a great technology. It's only getting better and better. Bullshit.
Yeah.
You can't beat fiber to the freaking home.
Yeah, I would, you know, in terms of reliability, that's the main thing, right? I mean, like,
it's so retarded.
Nothing like a tiny blinking light to really get your signal delivered, right?
I mean, I'm on solid copper here. I got fiber coming into the building and then 50 meters of twisted pair copper coming up to here, and I can get 100 megabits. But, you know, if I had fiber coming straight in here, I could get 1 gig.
Yeah, right,
as
exactly.
I think it's our Estonian.
Lots of places have it now.
Yeah, lots of places. They're country fiber to the home for $20 a month. One gig symmetrical plan. It just makes me cry.
Well, okay, I think there are some limits to it. You know, like, it's not like that alone is going to do, you know, that's a good thing. But it's like, after a certain point, reliability, if you have a reliable, you know, certain bandwidth type of thing, then it's just the rest is just how fast can you download a movie.
Oh, yeah. Like, no, I'm happy with mine because mine's rock solid reliable.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, it's just...
Well, no, it's interesting, too, because, I mean, like... we see stuff, like, I'm staring... So, again, I'm in an Airbnb. This is not my stuff, but I'm staring at an Amazon Echo right now. And it's like...
What's an Amazon Echo?
That's the one where it's like, you know, Alexa? I mean, it's like there's...
No.
Oh, it's just turned on.
Klingon.
Creepy. Oh, that was creepy as shit.
What? No, explain.
Right. So it's basically, it sits around and it listens for its name. And when it does, then it's basically tied to Amazon. And
so it's one of these home hub.
Yeah, let's see.
Technology hub things or whatever.
Alexa, play some Prime music.
Oh, so it streams music that comes from Amazon Prime.
Can you hear that?
Yeah. Oh, so you just, it listens, it's currently listening to your voice. So this is, could switch on any time during the amp hour that you get animated.
Alexa, cut that shit out. Oh, it worked. Yeah, no, that's, yeah, I mean, yeah, it's interesting. Who was I talking to about
this? Is that all it can do? What else can it do?
You obviously can order from Amazon as well. And there's the Echo.
So you can be at the dinner table just talking about ordering a book and it automatically orders one for you? What the?
You would have to say the name of the service. I'm not going to say its first name again because it's obviously listening to me.
Disconnect this evil technology.
Well, it's like what we were talking about with Dimitri about last week too, right? Like the TV here I think is always on too. And yeah, so maybe it's a good thing that
is there a microphone in it?
Oh, I guarantee it. Yeah, but maybe it's a good thing that I'm stealing the LAN cable because now it's
right. It can't phone right. home unless right. it's phoning home via wireless, and then it's
yeah. That's true. The Wi-Fi connection is still active. I can see it. Ah, so, well. Yeah. I'm just stole the breakout LAN thing.
Dude, I'm telling you, go to the kitchen. Okay, mm-hmm. There's bound to be a roll of aluminium foil in there, right? Sorry, aluminum foil. You won't know.
Should I be fashioning myself a hat? And, is that what you're saying?
And I'd wrap it around your whole body, including your head, and you'll be completely safe.
Yeah, man, it's the only way you can be certain.
Yeah,
and then run outside screaming.
I think we have to nuke it from orbit. It's the only way to be
right,
sure.
Right.
that's just like why would you want that?
Yeah.
Why would you want that in your home? Like,
well,
what's
no.
Point?
So, I mean, some of this stuff, it's always a trade-off, right? This kind of thing, it's interesting.
Yeah, but what's the advantage of it?
Well, I think about not necessarily like the playing music. Like, what else is on here? Connected home. You could, well, if you wanted to. Let's see. Is it plugged in? Alexa, turn on the lights. I do. Oh, there it is. Yeah, it just turned on. You couldn't hear the click, but it did turn on.
The lights turned on.
There's like a. It's got
the
like
room
a.
Lights.
One of those, you know, plug into wall. It has like a Wi-Fi connected.
Oh,
outlet,
okay,
basically.
Yeah, right. Okay.
Alexa, turn off the lights.
Okay.
Oh wait. Let's try this one. Hold on. Alexa, play the Amp Hour.
You'd like to play the program called the Amp Hour?
Hell yes, I would. Are you hearing that?
Yeah. Yes. Say yes, dude. Say yes.
You'd like to play the program called the Amp Hour?
Yes.
Right?
Will it play?
Come on. You can do it.
I don't think that's us.
What is that?
Oh, you see the world.
This is great.
Alexa, cut that shit out. Okay, so maybe people do this just because it's fun to yell at it. Oh, wait.
Right.
So I got to hang out with Alicia and Chris. They did tell me about this one. I think it was them or somewhere else. Alexa, open the pod bay doors.
I'm sorry, Dave. I'm afraid I can't do that.
Oh, that's great. Okay. Some nerds have had some fun.
Yes, they definitely have.
Hopefully you can hear that at home.
Yeah, I'll try and
or wherever
I'll up
you're
it
listening.
If we can.
Yep.
You can hear it. If you can hear it, they can probably hear it.
I can hear it in my headphones. Yeah. Might not be able to hear it on speakers that well.
Oh,
but,
man.
All right.
Yeah.
So that's a little Easter egg. See, that'd be hard-coded somewhere. You know, somebody's done that.
No, there's multiple versions, too. I think it was Alicia talking about that. Maybe it was someone else. I'm sorry if it was someone else. But I don't know. Like, this kind of stuff, like the whole... So we were talking about the Wi-Fi thing, right? Wi-Fi, this is obviously... It has some lag time. This isn't a huge deal if this is Wi-Fi connected. But, like, some of the other stuff, like a lot of the products that are coming out, they're just Wi-Fi connected, and then they expect to be responsive, you know? It's like, I don't know. Powers.
Yeah, no, it's awful. No, I've got no. I'm trying to stream my new Netflix thing at home. Right,
mm-hmm.
I'm trying to stream Netflix, and I forgot we disconnected the cable, and it switched over to Wi-Fi, and I was wondering why I was getting all these little issues, you know,
right,
and it's just
right.
like, oh, so painful.
Yeah,
it's just no. Hate Wi-Fi. It's convenient for some things, but when you need reliable performance, there's always something wrong with it. Always.
Yeah.
Murphy gets you every time.
Oh, and this is like the when I was doing industrial stuff too. You know, I used to ask about that. But it's like, oh, well, you got these long runs. Why are you still dealing with cables? And like, dude. When you're
dude,
in a power plant, like,
no,
yeah,
no.
Like,
yeah.
You do not want to. Oh, hey, that boiler's about to explode. But the Wi-Fi's out, so...
So, oops. Yeah, no.
Oh, that's bad. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, well, you know, there's certain ultrasonic power companies that we dislike that are the same argument, right?
Right.
I remind people of that whenever I hear it. It's just like, look, you just can't... You can do other things, but it's just not worth it. It's not worth the cost difference yet. So, keep trying.
Hmm.
Good luck.
I don't
we're
like
just curmudgeons.
Amazon
it's
Echo
fine.
Thing.
It's fine.
I,
we'll
know,
we'll just be the curmudgeons and the ones
right.
with good power
yep.
and yeah, you know,
right.
high speed connections
and turning our lights off and on using one of these old fashioned switches. You know?
Yes,
unbelievable.
Sorry, Omer. Yeah, you weren't there for that, right?
No,
Yeah, those are being over. Yep, that's what they're doing. They are doing you know, network connected, some kind of wireless connected switch. And it's fast. They do it fast, but not everybody does.
Yep. Not impressed. Anyway, so what else has been happening?
Well, you made a video about, I heard our first try, and then you made a video about spectrum analyzer.
We launched into that. It proves that this show's random. Yeah, our first attempt, which we could publish if you like, was me launching straight into, having a dig at you for being late, of course, to the show, and then jumping into the spectrum analyzer,
We're doing it now, so is this kind of like it's like one of those fate things, you know?
Right. Okay.
Got back around to it.
Destined to talk about
this. Yes, exactly. Exactly.
No, what brought it up, actually, was that we were talking about, I don't know. I can't remember. It's all too hard. Anyway, you said, what's happening lately? I said, no, that's right. I was.
Wait, let's play the tape back.
This makes great. My mental tape just kicked in.
Yeah.
And if I keep talking, I'll forget what I just remembered a second ago. And
he's getting older, folks.
I'm going to forget. Yes, I've forgotten. hang on.
Just
head-butted the mic.
Oh, it's fine. Dave, you did a spectrum analyzer. Who cares? You did a spectrum analyzer teardown. You're talking about how you did it.
Yeah, but I want to know why I did it.
You were talking about how you did it with photos instead of.
No, that's right. Here we go. No, I've got it back. You were complaining that I don't have a real job. And
You don't have a real job. That reminds me to remind you that you don't have a real job. Yeah.
That's right. Thank you. As my wife reminds me all the time.
Yes.
Anyway,
right.
Because she doesn't want to come work for me. Anyway, and I was saying that I actually put the extra effort in this week. So I've been spending the last couple of days trying to finish this one teardown video, which ordinarily, I'd shoot in a few hours and it'd take an hour or two, to edit, because teardowns often had, data sheet add-ins and things like that. Takes longer to, edit those sorts of things in. But no, this took a couple of days to shoot this damn thing because instead of doing my regular thing of just, taking the cover off, turning the camera on, and then using my little poker to randomly poke around the board and just guess at what, everything does. And
this
then
might
just,
be this thing, yeah.
Yeah, and half the shit's wrong that I'm saying. And instead of doing that, I took my regular – I usually take high-res photos when I do my teardowns as well. As I'm actually tearing down each part, I take get another camera and take a high-res photo so I can upload later. I decided to take those and then – instead of doing a video thing in front of the camera with my poker, I would actually do this all in the edit, and I would insert the photos and I'd do these fancy zoom ins, and I added the RF section of the Siglent, the new Siglent spectrum analyzer, their low cost spectrum analyzer. Of course, the RF section has all the RF voodoo. Right?
Yeah. So how much is low cost, by the way, for those?
$1,500. $1,700 with the Rigol's cheaper, but its performance isn't as good as this Siglent one.
Is this up to is it 3 gig or 6 gig or 2 gig?
It's 2.1 gig for the base model, but the hardware is capable of 3.2 gig. So it's just like software option.
Unlocked.
So
yeah, okay.
So
anyway, cool.
So it's a 3.2 gig spectrum analyzer front end, and of course all the RF voodoo magic, inside the bigger aluminium block,
the islanded RF section stuff.
The
like
RF section, if you haven't seen them, they've got machined aluminium over each section, and they're all building blocks inside because you don't want coupling between different sections. The front end preamplifier, you don't want that coupled to your local oscillator or something like that. So they, mill out these aluminium blocks, top and bottom of the board, and everything's sectioned. Anyway, so I decided to go to the effort of taking my high-res photo and then overlaying, blocks and identifying each block and then labeling them and labeling the signal flow across the board. And there's like 25 different blocks on here, and I could have actually done more. In fact, I'm looking at the photo now and I just could have mentioned a few more things that I forgot. Anyway, doesn't matter. And there's 25 different blocks, so I went through and explained and added zoom in, as I'm talking the photo zooms in and then the data sheet pops up, and it's much more polished than my usual teardown waffle. And the result
no,
was
no, you
quite...
saved that for here.
Exactly. Waffle hour.
Yes.
Yes. And the result, everyone liked it, of course, because,
waffles.
Yeah, it's much more highly polished. So now I've set a new expectation, I think, for teardowns, unfortunately. Mm. But, yeah, it's just like I thought, oh, yeah, I'll do this, and it'll take me an extra hour or two, you know, a couple of hours. It won't be a big deal. But, no, it was like there's just all these little things add up to a ton of extra time.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Just these little touches here and there and, you know,
well,
tracing
it's like
the
same
circuit.
Thing for just general documentation, too. Like, you know, it's easy
anything.
To it's easy to give like a cursory overview for, you know, a product you're designing.
Mm.
But it's all about, like you ever had – a product that you worked on where the main designer left. You inherited the product. Because this
you
is like
inherited
all I
the
ever
design.
Did.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, you kind of have some ideas about why they did that, but
right.
there's no, like, you cannot possibly replace all of it. You know, you just kind of always lean on, oh, well, I could just go ask, you know, Bob.
Yeah, yeah. No,
what was he actually
that.
Thinking here? You know,
yeah.
Like, and that's terrible when it happens. I remember.
Well, I've had that. I've left a company, and then I've got a phone calls from the new guy working there saying, "What's this? How does this work?" You know,
right?
It's like
right.
It's in the documentation. Oh, there's documentation. Is there? Yeah, I spent a lot of time doing it. Go read it.
Yeah.
You know, like anyway.
Well, that's a little different, though.
No,
I mean, like
yeah,
that's like that existed, but it, I mean, like even that would be like if he called you even after the documentation. If it was, you know, I assume it was good documentation.
They have, yeah. Even though it's documentation, it's not sufficient. You know,
right. Right. Yeah, you just can't. You can't capture
you
everything.
Can't be. You can't capture everything. That's right.
Right. I've seen. They recorded like one of the designers left at a place he used to work, and they recorded videos of just like him talking through. And even
oh,
that, it was like
wow.
6 to 8 hours of like him whiteboarding how things worked, and like, and then they did like a ESPN style breakdown of it, and it was like, oh, you know, like even that, like it was great, and that was a great resource, but it's still not enough. You know, you basically
right.
have to have
yeah,
someone someone else come in and build up a new set of knowledge based around that kind of thing.
Yep.
Because, yeah, that's how it goes sometimes. Them's the breaks, you know?
Wow.
Yeah.
Anyway, so yes, I spent a lot of extra time doing this, so that's been kicking
well,
my butt.
I'll have to check that out now. That sounds like that sounds like a very
educational
thing.
You've got to, go about halfway into the video and you'll start to see the better stuff, you know?
That's great.
So, yeah. Anyway. So thank you, everyone who commented on that and said it's fantastic, but yeah. I may not
more.
Be able to. Don't expect it for every single. Well,
right.
Most teardowns aren't that involved. I mean, RF front ends like that. I mean, you know, there were 25 separate blocks that I went through there. I mean, you know, your average, if you tear down an oscilloscope, there's not 25 different blocks to talk about.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. Well, there's the front end. I guess you could break down the oscilloscope front end further, but like, it's like that's to the discrete transistor level usually, you know.
Yep.
But yeah,
yep.
There's a couple of discrete FET transistors on the front end, and then there's a programmable gain amp. It goes to an ADC, then it goes off to an FPGA, then it goes to an application processor, and Bob's your uncle.
Jeez.
You know, it's like, like, you know, it's right, they're all the same, whereas RF front ends are, you know, spectacular things. My hat's off to the designers of these things. They're just great, because that's not my area.
Right,
you know.
Right.
And so much attention to detail and effort's gone into that. That I wonder how many spins it took them to do that.
Right,
but
like how much is it each
simulation.
Each spin? You know, like
yeah,
it's crazy.
Well, yeah, because you know these are expensive controlled impedance boards. You know, these aren't just you know your regular ones from you know purple bloody prototype boards. You know,
right.
These are you know real expensive.
These are
to
super
spin.
Controlled impedance, multi-layer.
Yep, and yeah. Anyway, so it's a bit, you know, there's a lot of tools these days that design the distributed element filters and things like that. So you can get those working first time, you know, on the first spin. That's not, you know, isn't really a problem. You just need the tools and you need to spend the time to get it right before you spin your first board, I guess. But yeah, it would have been impressive. In fact, they had this problem. They were supposed to release this scope at the end of last year because I had the Siglent CEO here in the lab. Yeah, what did I say?
You said
spectrum analyzer.
Yeah, sorry.
No.
Yeah, essay.
Spectrum analyzer.
Yep.
And they were supposed to, you know, they were like it was like borderline released. And in fact, I saw, you know, saw an early version of it. And, like, but they went, oh, no, oops, we goofed it. Something's wrong.
Yeah,
and
but you can't get that wrong either. I mean, like, it's good to, I'd rather put that off than.
Oh, yeah, no. So they held recall, over, you know, for 6 months. Yeah, they did it. So they redesigned it. I don't know how much, but they did the right thing, went back, redesigned it. And 6 months later, it's now finally out. So.
Crazy.
Have you ever had that where a product is almost, you know, like,
oh, like yes, right on it's the, going right to, on the edge.
Yeah, we've promised everyone it's going to be released this week, and then, oh, shit, somebody found something.
Not at like the 11th hour like that. Right. Definitely pushback.
Not a total showstopper.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I take it you have? You've
It's happened the odd time, yep.
Yeah, that's...
And, yeah, it's that's a killer.
But again, it's usually worth it though. Like if you're actually pulling that trigger, you know, like if you're hitting that big red button,
yeah,
that's usually the right call, you know.
Yeah. Although it doesn't happen often, and for me, when it's happened, it's only been one customer, like, you know, because I have never worked on consumer stuff, so it's not like, you know, I worked at a company where we promise the whole world, you know, like an Apple where we promise the whole world we're going to release this, and then you know, it doesn't happen.
Well, by the time they're announcing something too, like, because they're building up like those kind of consumer things, by the time they're actually doing all the press hubbub, they've already got stuff in stock somewhere.
Exactly. So it's a different ball game, but yeah. Anyway.
Yeah. I was at that event that I throw in San Francisco. There was it was a prototype story, but Jason from Cast AR was there, and I think I caught it on camera, so I might be able to post it. But basically, he was telling us a story about a thing they caught after the fact, where basically the silkscreen overwrote each other, and so like everything else looked. It was a great troubleshooting thing where it almost felt unavoidable, but basically. There was a cutout in the silk screen that made it look like it was the pin one marker, but the pin one marker was actually underneath another chip, like the silk screen thing for
right.
that.
Right? Yeah, yeah.
Oh man! Like, and you see it up close. You're like,
wow.
Oh, it looks. I don't know how they could have caught it, other than the fact that someone actually did catch that error. So someone did hit the red button at some point at the assembly stage. He did hit the red button, and then.
But that's not a showstopper.
I mean, no. This is prototyping
too. Wrong.
This is right. prototyping too. So yeah, this is totally fixable, which I think is why he told us about it.
Yeah, right.
It was a great story. So I'll try and post that too because I think I have video of that. It's crazy. But I got to try Foodcast AR finally. Our old friend Jerry.
Yep.
He was just over on the Embedded podcast as well. So.
Oh, okay. Right.
Yeah. So she was back over there. Talking about that, that was a good show, but I still had I so all these years in, I still had not tried it after all the times at Maker Faire and everything like that. Yep. And
you finally tried it.
Very interesting. I've now tried.
What do you think? You're not blown away.
I don't know.
No. By your lack of excitement, I know your answer is no. Right.
Yeah, I don't think I was blown away. I think I can hear it
in your voice.
I see the potential for it though. Like and right. But I had just tried the Vive, the HTC Vive as well.
Oh right, I've heard that's just come out, yep.
Yeah, and that's a lot better. And I know we're not this kind of podcast, so we don't need to talk
but
it's not
is,
about
but
gaming
it's the
stuff
Vive,
like that.
But the Vive HTC, that's different. Cast AR is augmented reality,
right.
Whereas the Vive is virtual reality, right? Which are two different technologies.
Yeah, totally different stuff.
Right? If for people who don't know, the Cast AR system that Jerry's working on, you could watch, we'll link in her episode, which is fantastic, that talks all about the technical details of it. But it's augmented reality in that you actually look into the real world, so you're looking at the room you're in, and there's retro reflective surfaces that project onto it and project back, so you can actually interact with the real environment that you're in.
Yeah,
that's why it's augmented. It is reality.
Yeah,
but
it's like
augmented
mixed reality.
It's mixed. Whereas the Vive HTC thing and the what's the other one? The big one.
The Oculus is the other one.
Oculus Rift, right? These are, you know, full headset virtual reality. You've just got screens in front of your eyes and you can't see anything else around you, you know.
So the Vive is is a little different though too, because there's actually monitoring. And actually another so this is the Amp Hour playlist, right? So Alan Yates, who's also been on the show.
Yes, he's been on the show. Yep.
Yeah, so Alan worked on some of the tracking stuff. So basically there's like lasers that are like some kind of
there's
point tracking.
There's a video that I linked, that I tweeted the other day.
Oh, you did, yeah.
Yeah.
So Alan's, I didn't realize that's what video. Alan was working on. I mean, I know. Yep. So, like, Jeff worked on the controller there, and and Alan worked on that stuff. Monty worked on the headset. We haven't had Monty on, but I've talked to Monty before, and it's weird. Like these people that we know, like, it's like they're making real stuff, Dave. We're a little behind the time, man.
Yeah,
it's like commercial level stuff. It's crazy.
We make content.
Yeah, we make content.
Actually, I much prefer.
Amazon
what
doesn't
do
know what
now.
Our content is. Sorry.
Right. No. I much prefer my content and what I'm doing now, because I'm producing content like every day.
Mm.
That's like, it's like having a finished product every day, you know, or several times a week. Whereas before, I would work for years on one product that would never get released.
Well, the real question is, does anyone notice that we're making content? So let's check. Alexa, who is EEV blog? I don't know if she'll get what
I said. Sorry, I can't find the answer to the question.
Well, you did stutter there a bit.
I did stutter. Alexa, who is EEV blog?
I don't know. If you take a look at the Bing search link I added in the Alexa app.
Alexa, who is David L. Jones?
David Dyell Jones, the Welsh Rugby Union and Professional Rugby League
player. Yeah, she said
professional rugby player.
Yeah, you wish.
And at club level for Ebbw-Vale.
She said Dyell Jones. Alexa, that's fine.
Sorry, I didn't understand.
See, this is no fun. This is
No, this is evil.
Yeah, this is
dude,
stupid.
Rid this from your life.
No, this is like the comedy. This is like the comic relief. Yeah.
Oh,
but, you know, this is actually kind of good, though. We could use this as like fact check. If it understood what we were saying, it could fact check us.
In real time, so it could be like a third co-host that corrects us. Dave, you're a dickhead. That's wrong. I'm sorry, Dave, but you're
a
dickhead.
We could find lots of people that would come on and do that for for us. You know, like So
anyway, that's what I'm saying. I much prefer what I do now, even though I miss working on hardcore design. Right.
Of course, yeah.
Because I don't have the time to do it anymore.
It's different challenges too. You know, like
it's a different thing. It's much more satisfying.
Well, both of our careers have changed a bit from that stuff. We still do hardware, you know, in some form, but we're not in the trenches anymore. And
no, that's right.
It just it changes. It's like, but when you really think about it, everyone kind of goes through that at some point. It's actually usually the exception of people that are doing 30 years of hands-on hardware. You know, like.
Well, and I've done 25 years of hands-on hardware, maybe 30. I don't know. When did I start? 87. Sorry, 89 was my first job, so I'm coming up to...
In 28, yeah.
You know, yeah.
Oh, wait, no. Yeah, 29 next year.
Yeah.
28 next year. Anyways, okay, yeah, I guess you're right. I don't know. I just don't think that most people, though, end up moving into other stuff. That's what I really mean. Eventually.
No? Okay.
Anyways,
I don't know.
Whatever.
Well, it's a different world to what it was 15, 20 years ago, pre-internet.
I totally agree with that, yeah.
You know, there was less to move into. You know, now it's like, geez, my job that I'm doing now did not exist 8 years ago. It did not. It just did not exist.
Mine, right? Out of the three jobs I have, about 10 years ago.
Yeah, they would not have existed.
Form.
Yep. No, exactly. You know, social media. What was that? Right. You're a social media dude.
Right.
No, didn't exist.
You know, that's another one. Actually, so one of my other buddies, who's an electronics designer, so mentioning the Vive, after trying, this is what I really wanted to try it for, is because he's like, he was the one telling me about like how it's not. You know, people think about games, but it's actually like the thing that's really interesting is like the other stuff.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Like,
no, I totally.
There's stuff
agree.
Where like you're designing. Yeah. Solar systems and stuff like that. Like to the point where he's a 20 plus year hardware guy. He's considering quitting his job and becoming a VR developer. Like that kind of, like when you hear someone say that, like that's definitely
As he working for a VR company or
no,
doing his own
thing? He's working as an industrial person, at a big industrial company.
So, oh, right, yeah.
Yeah. So no, nothing like that at all. Like, he's very talented, but that kind of shift, like someone saying that, like it's such an early days, like that kind of stuff is, that piques my interest for sure.
Yeah. No, I think there's a huge future for it. I just don't like it. I prefer 100% reality. Thank you very much.
Yeah, well, you know me.
Yeah.
I alter my reality a lot with beer, so I'll be doing that after this, I'm sure.
Right.
Yeah, it's been a rough show with Dave.
The only one I've tried is the Oculus Rift, and it was crap.
Yeah, try this, try this new one. I mean, like, I agree, like, I wouldn't have thought, but it's different. Something's different.
Yeah.
So, and I mean, like, and so, again, like, someone I saw, I was hanging out before I went to go see Jerry, they mentioned, like, you know, the killer app is... looking at voltages on a circuit board, you know, like things that like that you wouldn't think, you know, a lot of these platforms are made for gaming, right? That is the leading edge.
Yeah, but
thing.
How does that work? I mean, it's great to say that. Oh, just look at the voltages on a circuit board. And
I mean,
then,
it could
like,
be an educational thing where it's not actually. Yeah, right. Yeah, I totally agree. I know what you mean, but
it would have to be pre-programmed to, you know, you look at the board and then it maps, you know, current flow through the
sure,
traces
like
and things
like
that.
Yeah,
over.
Right.
But, you know, like, but why do you need to do that in a headset? Like, it's just...
With the Cast AR, that would be like an overlay type thing. But like, yeah, no, you're right. It's always looking for an application kind of thing. But but thinking about it in terms of electronics, you know, and educational type stuff, like all this stuff, when you really start to think about
it's big for education. It's just...
I mean, think about all the mental models that you and I have about like how we think about electronics. That is a hard thing to acquire. If you could start to accelerate people towards that of, you know, how to think about how current interacts, voltage interacts, stuff like that. Like that's a really hard thing to wrap your head around. That's a 5-year task. Mm. And if you start to accelerate that and you get people past that, you know, they can do other things. I never subscribe to the idea that like, oh, well, you should learn it like how I learned it. Like I don't agree with that at all.
No, totally.
So.
That reminds me, I did promise someone who was reminded of this a couple of months back that I promised to go visit, spoiler alert, turn off now.
With what? Spoiler for what?
one of the world's biggest virtual reality training centers.
Oh, cool. Okay, so this is going to be a future video, you're saying?
Yeah, future video, yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, you know, one of those ones where you stand in the middle of the room and it's, you know, the walls around you, 360 degrees, are all projected and you can enter, you know.
It's like a holodeck, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Exactly. Yeah, that's great, man.
Yeah.
You should totally do that.
Yep. I always say that and then I never do. Because it requires me getting off my backside. You know, I've got to drive halfway up the coast to do it, you know. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Anyway. Requires commitment. Hey, commitment.
Yeah, man.
Commitment's overrated, I'm telling you. Anyway, next.
I'm sorry, I'm kind of looking back. Like, when's the last time we had a show with just us? It's been like...
I don't know, it's been ages.
2 weeks, at least 2 weeks, right? We had two in a row.
Yeah, we had two in a row, which you just threw that...
Wait, so that was like 24 days ago? So it's articles that were like posted as many as 24 days ago? Is that right? No, 21 days ago.
Well.
Yeah, no, that's true. 21 days ago. Yep. So we didn't mention last time EE Times and EDN got bought. Did you hear about that?
Hang on. No, I didn't hear about this.
Oh, yeah.
Where is this linked in here? Where?
24? We're looking at our subreddit. I will remind people that we do have a subreddit where we submit and we ask people to submit and we take suggestions.
Holy crap, I totally missed that one. Why did I not see this on Twitter? Tweeps, are they called tweeps? People who follow me on Twitter obviously didn't, or people I follow didn't
No one like pinged you with it kind of thing?
I don't think I was pinged with this.
Yeah, so UBM used to own, so this, you know, this is the remainder of years and years and years of consolidation, right?
There's
Excelsior and
EE Times, EDN, and Tech Online, Penton, they're all separate things.
Like all of these, well, all the parent companies too, they all kind of just kept getting smooshed into one thing.
So UBM was the gobbler. UBM was the gobbler.
Yeah.
New term. Gobbling up all these companies. And then now Arrow bought UBM, or they've bought something from UBM?
No, they just bought these. They have a list here. EE Times, EDN, ESM, I don't know what that is, embedded.com, EBM, which is the, I think, sourcing, Tech Online, and datasheets.com.
Well, what does that leave UBM?
They're an events company, so that's actually
always been doing, and they just went, all this electronics business.
I don't know if you know,
like
Black Hat, the hacker conference,
yeah,
that's them. I mean, I didn't realize that. So like, and DEF CON's tied to that, but it's not specifically run by them. But like, basically, they're making money on, you know, the ticket prices, all of that stuff.
Well, that makes sense to divest yourself of these other things like EE Times, you know, all these electronics online presences, and focus on events. That makes, presuming that's what they've done.
Yeah, from a business perspective, sure.
Yeah,
but I mean, we can lament the death of trade journals. You know, like, it's not like this is.
Well,
take a step back.
This is not surprising. I would rather have Arrow owning them than bloody UBM, who's an events company.
That is a surprising response. I wouldn't have guessed you'd say that, but
but at least Arrow's in the business, right?
Mm-hmm. That's true.
I mean,
makes sense. UBM is in other publications, though, too. It's not like, I mean, like,
yeah,
I guess you're
right. Okay, they're into publications, and I don't know, but
I mean, I think if ostensibly, you know, impartial, long-lasting, like if the New York Times, assuming that the New York Times is an impartial journalistic enterprise that is, on its own.
Yeah,
you can do whatever you want. Yeah, I'm just trying to find a good example. I mean, you can say it about any any journalistic thing these days. But assuming that it's some level of independence, if it got bought by someone and saying like, oh, that's going to ruin the independence, it's like, okay, that might be legit. With these trade journals, like for years, it's just been like, you know, it's kind of like a lot of the chip companies are writing all the articles anyways because they can't afford to pay writers, right? They're basically, you know, like, and it's not that there's not still some decent stuff in there, but it's print. Yeah. Okay. I mean, they don't even do print anymore. They're not like websites. They're like,
yeah.
So I'm sad because I liked a lot of people that were, and it's not like they're going away, but it's just, you know, it's just another nail in the coffin kind of thing. So, yeah.
Interesting. Okay. So what else does Arrow own?
They also own Silicon Expert, and they bought Hearst. They bought a bunch of Hearst stuff a while back too.
Oh, Hearst. Okay.
Yeah.
Yep.
So and so what it really means is that Arrow could be moving into more of the, you know, they're a distributor, if people don't know, but they also could be moving more into the they just might be making more content too, like, and that could be a positive thing, right? I mean, a lot of the distributors are looking for ways to add more value in the first place, because, you know, they basically make margin on buy a part, sell a part, and they make the difference, and if you're more likely to go to them, they can get their volume up and sell you more parts and stuff like that. So that's not necessarily a bad thing, but then, you know, some people will say, oh, well, there's, you know,
aha, here's the reason why UBM are divesting themselves of this online rubbish, is because events generate net profits in excess of 30%. Woohoo!
No.
No wonder. So they're going for, UBM are going for an events first strategy. So I actually called it before.
You called what? You called that, the thing that I told you was from the article?
No, I guessed, like seconds ago, I guessed that. Minutes back, I guess that, they're going, focusing on events. And I actually read the bottom of the article here, and it says, yes, they are holding an events, their new strategies, events first. And
Alexa, is David L. Jones a soothsayer?
Sorry, I didn't understand the question.
Don't worry, I didn't either.
Wouldn't it suck if your wife was called Alexa or something?
Yeah, right? Yeah, you can actually change the name. That's the other thing.
Oh, so. Oh, you can. Oh, I thought it was deliberately chosen because it's like not common and it's easy to voice recognize or something. Less.
Maybe the verbiage or like how the phonetics of it are or something.
Right, yeah, something like that. Anyway. Yeah. Anyway, so okay, my verdict on this is I don't necessarily think it's a bad move yet, unless other info comes to.
I mean, it's better than them letting it just, you know, wither on the vine kind of thing.
Oh,
right?
Yep.
Yeah, totally. I mean, like.
So maybe
like,
Arrow will, do something with
it. If they
it,
keep
knows?
It going, if the people that I know and like at these publications keep getting the right stuff, there's a potential for it getting better. And that's not bad. So.
Okay. Speaking of buyouts, beautiful segue into a huge buyout. Who was it? Oh, yes. Farnell, Element 14 have been bought.
Mm.
That's huge. I mean, it's a $1.1 billion deal. How much was the other deal worth? Didn't it say? Are they even a listed company?
Which
or was
one?
It?
UBM, the UBM.
Yeah,
stuff?
The UBM. No, because they only bought parts of it. I think it'd be a private. It'd be a private sale.
Wasn't
yeah. Right.
Much.
Not much. Anyway, this is a $1.1 billion deal. Swiss, how do you pronounce it?
Detweiler, is that what it is?
Detweiler, Swiss Detweiler company.
Yeah, Detweiler, I think. Yeah.
Yep. Anyway, they've agreed to acquire Premier Farnell for $1.1 billion. And for those who don't know, probably in the US, you might know them as Element 14.
Okay. And Newark still.
Newark as well, right? So
yeah.
Element 14.
So yeah, down
Newark,
by you guys, it's Element 14, right?
It's Element 14 here. They changed from Farnells. It used to be Farnells. When I was a boy, you know.
Yeah. And I think most of Asia as well is Element 14.
Yeah. So, yeah, that was their big rebranding wank. And hopefully they'll kill the stupid website community. I'm sorry for anyone who's on that Element 14 community, but
it's. You
don't like
sucks. Jive? Come on,
it
Jive.
It sucks balls. What's Jive?
That's what the software's called.
Oh, Joe, right. I didn't know it had a name except Evil. It's software that a lot of companies started using about 5 years ago.
It is an enterprise solution, Dave.
Enterprise solution, in quote marks, that just does nothing well. It just, nothing.
Right. It does everything, but nothing well.
But nothing even remotely well.
Yeah.
It's just awful. And, it's just... How many times back in the day Element 14 tried to talk me into doing content for them? And I just said, no, your platform sucks ass. It really does.
Yeah.
I'm not.
Yeah, we've talked. Sure people can go back and search.
This,
and we've
definitely
complained.
5 years ago, we would be flogging this to death.
Oh, man. 5 years. Dave, 5 years, man. Well, it's been almost six in August, right?
I know. It's scary.
Yeah. That's nutty. So.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't really have, again, like much like you. This feels like when Warren Buffett and Berkshire Hathaway buys a company. It's like, I don't know. I think it's interesting seeing the difference because I think Arrow is like a $30 billion company. So just that scale difference is pretty big. So that's interesting. But
so Swiss Detweiler, however you pronounce it, are they a Danaher? Are they?
Yeah, I mean, maybe a Danaher, but maybe a little bit less.
Right.
I mean, we'll
see. For those
who
don't know, Danaher bought Fluke, Tektronix, Keithley, you know, and basically drove them.
And they're spinning
into
it out to something else. Did you know that? Did we talk about that?
I think we talked about it.
Yeah,
they
got some stupid new name. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, so they're. This is all just. You know what this is? Whenever I see these kind of deals, I'm like, you know. Someone had a really good steak and some nice scotch after they cut this deal. Like, but what is it really? Like, it doesn't change anything. I mean, like, someone made a lot of money, right?
Right.
I don't even know if it was it private? Was it a private company before? But it doesn't matter much for us.
No.
I mean, like, until they start changing
things. It was a public company.
Yeah.
This reminded me, showed him on my Twitter feed the other day. It's a complete nonsense. It's totally off topic, but it's on topic, if you know what I mean. It's a buyout. The Ultimate Fighting, organization, right?
Yeah.
Which is huge now, right? UFC, they just sold that. And I went, You know, it like, what is that? It was like when they sold, who was the YouTube partnership franchise, you know, partner thing to Disney, right? They sold them to Disney for like $1 billion or something. And I went, it's the same thing. What is the ultimate fighting thing? It's the people who do branding, the fighting, right? It's a branding plus the people who actually produce the content. And they, what do they get out of it? Nothing, but the owners sell it for, you know, $1 billion, right?
Yeah, well,
and,
licensing is always a thing, right? I mean, that's...
you know.
I think there's actually some logistics here, though. You know, like there's warehousing and stuff
It's... anyway. Yeah. Bit of a non-circle. Anyway, as a content producer, that just, yeah, really pees me off.
Really grind your gears.
Yep.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
So is that all for this week's buyouts? Because, like,
you know, people are running out of things to buy. So
I know. It's like we always say that, but there seems to be a never-ending pool of acquisition. You know, like things just float up to the top of the pool. Oh, we'll acquire that. You know, like
yeah, right. I'll take one of those and one of those and one of those.
And we think surely there's nothing left to consolidate, but there always is. Like, we're just not creative enough to think of it.
Amazon, Alexa, add Intel to my shopping list.
I've added Intel to your shopping.
Yes.
You know, this is actually tied to the it's tied to the Airbnb guy's shopping list. There's Amazon account, so that's going to be interesting.
Oh, right. Yeah.
I would totally turn it off if I had. I would never have it in the first place. But.
Yeah, surely. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you can add all this weird stuff to their.
Yeah, right, exactly.
To their Amazon buy list.
Right.
Go and find the weirdest, freakiest shit you can find on Amazon and,
yeah.
And add it to the cart. And then they'll keep getting spammed with the. Because they think you're interested in that product. No.
So speaking of Intel, did you see they blew a ton of money on making a television show?
No, but thanks for reminding me. I got footage of the Intel drone thing from the Vivid Festival, which I haven't uploaded yet. So I edited
and
uploaded.
Cool.
So
yeah, that'll be good.
Thanks for that. Hope I haven't overwritten the footage.
Was it a dancing, like the 50 drones, like flying in formation?
Yep.
Oh, that's cool. Yep. Yeah, no, I've seen previous footage of that type of thing. So
yep. Anyway,
that's cool.
No,
that's great.
Footage of that. Hopefully it's somewhere.
I'm sure it's on a camera or data stick.
It's on a memory card
these days.
You know?
Yeah.
Data, somewhere.
Data block.
This is concerning now. Anyway.
Basically, they basically did like a Shark Tank like show. Remember we were complaining about Shark Tank? And I was complaining about Shark Tank last time. And that's what the show they made.
I probably shouldn't complain about Shark Tank because I'm thinking about teeing up with somebody from Shark Tank. I've got an invite it's a good thing. It's one of the people
we'll hear about that when that comes
on the Australian Shark Tank is a director of a company that I'm very interested in. So
What you're trying to say is that you found a company that you're very interested in that you might partner with.
No, not partner, just go do a video. Anyway. He's got one of the products from this company installed at his house, and I thought I would. I've got a contact that can put me in contact with him. So, yep. Anyway,
yeah.
Just saying.
Well,
yeah, but Shark Tank. Otherwise, yeah. Ugh.
Yeah, not a fan personally, but that's basically what this is. But it's like they were actually showing the build process and all this stuff. But the only requirement is that they had to be built on Intel technology, right? So basically I don't remember Curie came out.
Oh, no. Somebody on the forum, was it, said that, they posted, they couldn't talk about it. They were actually on the show. They were one of the Intel experts that were helping people develop their products. It's like a maker type thing, right?
Right, exactly. And they are going to do a second season, apparently. But this is like on real TV. Like, this is on like... Real TV. This is on cable, man. Right. Like, this is not just internet based. So they spend a lot of money on
real TV is not cable. Real TV comes through the air, dude.
Right. 2, 4, and 7. Yeah, that's different there, I'm sure.
Here it's 2, 7, 9, and 10. Yeah.
Yeah. There you go. Man, Your kids are never going to know what that means. Why are you saying numbers? Why are you saying numbers and not URLs?
Right.
No, it's 2.com.
Sagan watches all his cartoons on channel 22. You know,
there you go. Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Anyways, the winner was a toothbrush.
A toothbrush.
I don't know, like all these things. Like
was it an electric toothbrush? Obviously, because it's got to have an Intel thing.
Yeah, right. It was basically
An app connected to. No, stop right there. No.
Right.
No. No, just no, 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 no.
I don't know. Alexa, where should we go next?
I can't find the answer to the question.
We'll just end the show then. Bloody no. Ugh.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Anyways, it's a whole lot of build up for not much, but they probably spent millions and millions and millions of dollars on this marketing.
Oh,
so.
For sure. Yeah, yeah.
So we just gave them a little boost there, you know.
Big dollars. Intel drone event that I went to, I actually shot some, walk-around footage of the – I went to this invite-only event, you know, Intel invited me. Mm-hmm. And it was on the opera. It was at the Opera House, you know. So right there.
Oh wow!
There,
so right down there, yeah.
Yeah, right. It was actually on the Opera House forecourt, and they had their own string, like a 30-piece string orchestra with a conductor and everything that played music while you were, you know, eating your canapés and, you know, bloody sipping your whatever. Right?
Dave, you smarmy bastard.
and then they were playing the live music as the drones were flying. And I'm just going, how much did they spend on this wank? You know,
It sounds
unbelievable.
Beautiful.
And they're laying off 10% of their workforce,
well, there
right?
is that. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And,
I mean, well,
and then,
yeah.
Right?
I remember what I wanted to talk about this is like, okay, so they're trying to find an interesting project and, but at the end of the day, it's a connected toothbrush, right? And there's other projects and some of them were slightly better, maybe not, I don't know, but like Intel is a company that has a lot of money for marketing because they were selling parts that were, you know, $200 a pop, right? You know, like you buy an i7 and it's expensive.
Yep.
But now they're trying to move into the space with like a Curie and like they're cool. Like, don't get me wrong, those are cool little boards. I mean, like they really are packing a ton of stuff into these chips and they're getting a little better on the software, it seems like too. Like, so again, those are all positive things. However, in 10 years from now, if they're just selling stuff that goes into toothbrushes and small connected devices like that, there is no way that you will be eating Intel-sponsored canapes, right? I mean, like, there's just no way. And so what the hell is their plan? You know, like, I mean, yes, they're trying to promote this stuff, but, like, other than make stuff for more laptops and servers, like, I don't get where they go from here. You know, there was already articles about how their laptop... The reason the layoffs happened is because there's more tablets than there are laptops type of thing. You know, there's still this high end, there's still the high end, you know, like my MacBook has a high end processor in it, but there's less of those in general because most people can get away with having, you know, a MediaTek processor in it or an ARM based whatever.
Intel aren't in that space. So,
right. And they can't be, you know, like they just,
well, they could have been, but they passed it up. So,
That's the thing. It's not, were we talking about this on here? Maybe somewhere else. Was it Clint talking about it? I don't remember. Someone was talking about this recently. It all just kind of mashes together in my brain these days. But like, you know, like when you come into a space and you have all these... Oh, it was Clint. It was talking about FPGAs, remember? And he was talking about when you have all these like built-in costs, you can't go to that low-end thing. You know, like you just aren't built for it.
Right. Yep.
You know, that was the problem. And it's the same thing with Intel. You know, they have all of these costs so that when you come in and you say... Oh, well, we want to make the super low cost thing. And they say, well, how are you going to pay for all the amortized, you know, overhead for, you know, all of our fabs and stuff like that? It's like, you just can't. But that's where the world's going. So that's why that's, you know, like the world wants more ESP8266s and whatever their replacements are.
Which has just been supplanted because that's on the list. Beautiful segue. Thank you, Chris.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. It's a, well, there's, I don't know, a new variant of it, the 8285, yeah, which has a built-in flash memory. Yeah, okay.
Right, right.
Okay.
But, I mean, like, that's the kind of device where it's like, I mean, granted, this is still, you know, there's a lot of people that are at the hobby level, and but, like, this is not, like, an isolated thing. It's an interesting one, but it's not isolated. There are other, you know, Wi-Fi or RF-based chips coming out of China and coming out of, you know, small bottom-up type problems where it's going to be someone, you know, it's going to be, if you put it into enough people's hands, then eventually someone's going to use it for something interesting, right? And
right.
And when it costs $3 a chip versus $10 a chip, that is a significant difference.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I had a coworker today who was showing me a chip, and he's like, I saw the price, it was like $40, and I'm like, whoa. But like, he was a graphics guy, and I'm like, oh, well, like, I don't know if you know this, but that's like a lot for a chip.
Yeah,
like,
that's, you know? Yeah.
But then when you really think about it, it's like, that probably doesn't seem that weird if you look at a chip as a, you know, as a finished thing versus something that's going into a product that, you know,
yeah,
all the
right
stack up of overhead and stuff like that. And so, yeah, it's like, go for something at like $4. That's like, that's a good
even
point.
Even that's, you know, an expensive bomb item.
Yeah,
you know,
of course,
it's like,
right,
oh,
right,
can I optimize that out?
Right, I know.
You know,
but like, it was for a single piece, Dave. That's
right, yeah, yeah, right.
It's better there. Yeah. Yeah, so I mean, it's just, I don't know. Like, I don't know how an Intel survives 10 more years. Well, I do know, and I will restate my, you know, divestiture of the fab business from the design business. I just think that's going to happen. So, or they'll keep laying people off. Either one of the two.
Right.
I'd rather have them divest, to
I
be honest.
I think they'll go for the latter there. They'll just keep laying people off. That's what these companies do. Anyway, can we talk about something more betterer?
Better, more, yeah, better. No, better. I was
better.
Reading on, I forget what I was reading about, but so first off, I found again, I think, this blog called Analog Footsteps, and it's been...
Yeah, I was going to talk, I've got this open right here. I wanted to talk about this. This is killer. Read it,
yeah,
folks.
So it's basically, it's an article written on the premise of, you know, Malcolm Gladwell's, the, you know, Outliers thing, and he said it talks about 10,000 hours, and it's been debunked many times. That doesn't matter. But basically, it's about Bob Weidlar, who...
Sorry,
people don't know,
we'll explain that better. It takes 10,000 hours to become an expert at something.
That's
the original proposition.
That is the
idea.
How
and why has it been busted, and what is the figure? Does it matter? Like, you know, it's still
very,
in the thousands. You know,
yeah,
like,
I'm sure it is.
You
it's
probably
just
can't
that
spend
you
100
can't
hours
on
something and be... Oh, it depends on the topic, but we're talking about electronics here, which is generally a quite complex technical topic. You know, you're not going to be able to get an expert in something in... You know, you can become an expert in the on an Arduino in... You know, with 100 hours of coding, right? Of course. But, you know, like a lot of other aspects, no, it's thousands.
Yep. So, Bob Weidlar, if people don't know, we have a very fun poster.
We are not worthy. We are not worthy.
We are not worthy.
We are not worthy.
Right, right. So, the poster that we have, if you search Bob Weidlar, we are the first result for images because of the poster that Jaime made for us, which basically talks about Bob's accomplishments, and it's him flipping the bird, and
it's great.
It's and beautiful. You can go download it and print it out for your lab. We both, me and Dave, both have it in our labs.
It's great.
But it was talking about him because he was actually a really early. So this sent me down this huge rabbit hole, just kind of reading about the Traders 8 and stuff like that. And I didn't realize really how Weidlar was super early at National. I'm like one of the first engineers at National Semiconductor, almost right after they broke off from Fairchild. Did you know that? I
maybe back in the it doesn't
so he
ring
was
a bell.
But anyways, this is all just about his history, and so I was reading, I'll always stop and read about Weidlar because he's, you know, he's just a very eccentric kind of dude, and then I'm reading this and I'm like, what the hell? So his father passed away when he was 15, but he worked his family friend Ray Bird took him in and gave him a job at Bird Electronics, which is where I did my second internship, which I was like, holy shit, like, it's just on the street from where I live. It's crazy. So, I mean, obviously it wasn't there then, but, you know. He grew up in Cleveland and all this other stuff. So that got me even more interested in this kind of stuff.
And after the show, Chris will stalk down the original house he grew up in and take a selfie out the front.
Maybe, yeah, right. Cleveland! Yeah.
Go on.
So...
I challenge you to find the original house that Weidlar grew up in and tweet a photo of you standing out front.
That'd be so creepy.
Flipping the bird. Flipping the bird.
Yeah, flipping the bird. Yeah, I found your picture, too, and I looked up the Weidler picture.
Yeah.
I never quite realized that when you had the pen sticking out, that was supposed to be like a cigarette in your mouth or something. I never quite got that. So.
You didn't get it.
Yeah. No, I was like, why has Dave got a pen in his mouth? Anyways.
Yeah. That's why. Yeah, I was trying to emulate the photo. Yeah.
Right. So what about this tickled your brain with the 10K?
Oh, I just there was lots of info about his history I hadn't actually heard about before. So yeah. I just thought it was a nice little article.
Right, yeah. Right. And so a lot of this analog foots, I don't think it's actually active anymore. Let's see. Yeah, the last one was April of 2015, so it's not really being updated much anymore. But there is some interesting stuff. So basically this guy was writing, there's other articles kind of where he's digging in. Like some of the information in here, he actually was talking to Bob's brother, I think it was. Yeah, communication, maybe his son, Jim Weidler. I don't know who that was in relation to Bob, but yeah.
I'm doing the image search for Bob Weidler, and like the eighth one or something is an original ad from
National
Semiconductor flipping the bird.
Yeah,
exactly. I think that's Bob's hand.
Yeah. Well, there's another one too. There's a couple flipping the bird kind of stuff. Right. Oh yeah, you're saying it was our message to the competition, right?
Our message to the competition is simple, and we're it's a photo flipping the bird.
Yeah, it makes you wonder, like, is maybe this is another good one with the talking about the decline of print. Is it like, did they get away with that because it was like, you know, 60s and 70s type of thing, or because it was such a narrow audience that was actually viewing these ads? Or
well, and you couldn't
or
respond
is it even real?
And you couldn't respond instantly. You had to write a letter to the editor, and it'd be published in a couple of months in the letter to the editor's column. You know, so there'd be outrage.
I
from
was
three
very
people
outraged,
who wrote,
yes.
Letters to the letters to the editor. I've done that when I was a kid. You know, wrote a letter to the editor. You know, yeah.
Nice, old, old.
Old school. Yeah. But that's how it was done, you know? Like, there was a big lag, you know?
Yes,
In terms of outrage, you know? It was like a two-month lag in outrage before.
Right.
it's just great. Anyway.
Yeah. No, and honestly, so, like, reading about some of the other stuff, too, what was the other thing that kind of... So, he talked about, like... Oh, yeah, so the author is kind of, like, adding up the hours as well. And... But, you know, like, the thing he's talking about is, like, is kind of that thing that Clint was mentioning. You know, like, you remember how Clint was talking about he wanted to hire the guys that were, like, in the lab till, like, 3 or 4 in the morning?
Right.
Basically, that's exactly what this was. I mean, like, that's how Weidler was. He was just, like, in the lab at National working on these things nonstop. You know? And, like, I mean, there's arguments against that, of course, right? You know, like, it's good to have some other things going on in your life too, but like, just being really into it like that is you know, like, you will come out on top, much like you know, you'll come out with things like the UA 702 and the 709, right? I mean, like, that's what he was known for.
Yep.
So he said what it says here. So Bob locked himself in a room for 170 hours and reappeared with the legendary 709 op amp as a result. So yeah, that kind of stuff. It's just crazy to read about. So, watch out. If you read these articles, it's very easy to go down the rabbit hole. I was reading all about the Traitor's Eight. That story is always interesting to me.
That story reminds me of the Bill Gates one. You know, like back in the real early days of Microsoft. You know, Bill was a real nerd. You know, and he would code all night. And like at a meeting, if you were in a meeting and he. You know, thought your code was, this code is shit. I can go home and write it on the weekend. And he would go home and write it on the weekend, something better on the weekend. Yeah. That, you know, like, and it took a team of people. He'd go, I can write this on the weekend or overnight or something. And he'd go do it, you know.
Yep.
Anyway.
Actually, I was around a bunch of other history. So I finally stopped into the, I had a car when I was in San Francisco last week. Mm. And, I got to stop in the Stanford campus. I never visited there. Have you ever been there?
No.
Oh man, it is. First off, it's one of the most beautiful campuses I've ever seen in my life. Like just like the architecture and stuff like that. That alone is worth seeing it. But then I was at the Dave Packard EE building.
Yep.
And then I ate lunch across. I was like looking and I was like, wait, Gates Computer Science Building? I'm like, oh really?
Yep.
Like all of the engineering buildings there. Like if you look at a map, and then there's is it Varian? It was one of the guys, I think Varian.
No.
And then Have you read, so you've read like histories of like Bill and Dave and stuff like that,
oh,
right?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
totally.
So there's
HP
a Hewlett,
Way yeah. is the classic, oh, yeah, read. Right. Well, that's written by them, yeah.
Right, right. And then there's, so Hewlett has a building as well, but then their mm-hmm. professor, the I forget the guy's name.
Oh, now you're stretching me.
Yeah. But anyways, it was their mentor basically while they were there. And anyways, so there was a 200A oscillator in the lobby there, and just like history all over the place. It was really neat. I mean, it was really, really cool to see that. Aside from just the beauty of the campus, seeing all the nerd memorabilia there was really, really awesome. So highly cool. Recommend people stopping in if they can. It's I still didn't get a chance to go to the Commuter History Museum, so of course Dave says I am a fraud.
Missing out, dude.
Yeah, but... I did get to see that.
But you're not really a computer history guy, are you?
No, well, no. Should I be? I don't know.
No, you don't have to be. I just think it's cool. I personally am a computer history buff, you know?
Yeah, I mean, like the early processing day stuff, like that's interesting. Obviously, like we've had some great guests on the show, like Bill and Chuck and stuff like that. So I'm always interested in it, but I don't seek it out. So.
All right.
Yeah. So, yeah, Bob Weidler, get the poster now. I saw one thing that I didn't want to mention on here because I love when people ask this question, ask questions on the subreddit, too. So someone had asked, Mixed on the subreddit, he or she was asking about niche tools that can help an engineer in the day-to-day work. So the example was like a 485 RS-485 to serial converter and stuff like that. So, Dave, do you have similar type of things like very specific like type of tools? Yeah. Like
now you're putting me on the spot. No, nothing comes to mind because I'm always working on different stuff. So there's no like one tool that. Sort of, I use for everything, kind of, you know?
No. This would be one tool used for one thing. Like, one thing and one thing alone. Like, really, really specific. I'm trying to think about stuff around my lab as well. I would... It's not a small tool, and I don't have one anymore. But I would put a... I would put an asterisk on this because some people use it every day. But, like, for me, I'm not using a network analyzer all the time. But when I do...
Right, yep.
You know, like that is super specific to like me. I'm like breaking a control loop, injecting a signal and measuring it, right? That's what a network analyzer does. And like just because I don't use it for anything else, but when it's like one of those tools when you need it, you really need it, you know? Yep. Like it's
I can think of one, which is the AMTTI iProber. I've done a video on it. It's a Hall effect current sensor probe that allows you to get the current waveforms in traces without breaking the trace. You put the probe over the trace on the and it's all, you know, insulated and everything, so you stick it in a high voltage switch mode power supply, right? Yeah. Stick it over the trace and get the current waveform out of it. It's just none of this clamp probe rubbish, you know, and breaking things. It's just it really is a duck's guts. Very niche. And when you need it, you know?
Right. And when you need
otherwise,
it, you're also going to pay through
like an $800 tool, you know? Like,
right. Well, yeah, that's actually lower than I would have guessed. So I think the Mixed is asking as well about, you know, probably lower cost, like, you know, maybe even custom made by us type of things.
Okay.
And if that's the case, I mean, there's a lot of stuff out there. I really like this example that they gave about the 485 to serial type thing. Like, that's like a great, that's like a debug tool that gets made kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So, and I thought there was one, wasn't there one on the list here? USB, there was another one that I posted to the list. Yeah. I'm not sure if it was in response to that, but there's a USB to RS-485 link that I'll put on here too. So if people don't want to build their own.
No, well, like when I was working in various production environments, there are lots of custom tools that I'd make for myself, and I'd carry them around in a pouch, you know, when I go to troubleshoot.
Like a kangaroo,
stuff.
Folks.
Like a kangaroo pouch, that's right.
Alexa, where is Australia?
Australia is a UN-recognized country in the Australian continent.
Okay, that's enough.
It shares a border with
Indonesia. Okay, that's enough, Alexa.
It shares a border? We don't share a freaking border.
It shares a border with Indonesia, Vanuatu.
Oh, it does not.
Yeah, that's kind of... I mean, if you count the ocean, you know?
Yeah, we're a freaking island.
Yeah. This internet thing doesn't know crap.
Failed.
Yeah. So anyways, you'd carry it around in your little kangaroo pouch?
Yep, in my kangaroo pouch. And, you know, lots of little custom tools and custom connecting cables and, you know, custom, you know, jumper links and things that were, you know, designed for specific products that we're making. And, you know, and it was just impossible to do the job without them. You know, they weren't of use for anything else. They were totally useless, but they're essential for daily.
Oh, yeah, right. And it's like, and you always make three of them because you know two of them are going to break at some point, right?
Or you're going to lose them. Or they're... Right. Oh, can I borrow your thing? Yep, it'll be for 5 minutes. I'll bring it back. Yep. And then
Build three.
Right.
Oh, man. Okay, so we're probably running down on time.
We're out of time.
No. One more thing, because this is actually, someone posted this, and I just looked at it. But check out this part. It's a buck converter, 10 amp, 10 megahertz.
Is this chip of the week?
That's what, well, someone posted. I just looked, started
Imagine
looking at it.
Imagine the losses in your magnetics and everything. 10 megahertz, that's really screaming.
That's
for a DC-to-DC.
So like, super
if you don't,
tiny.
For those who don't know, like 1 megahertz, like in the megahertz range is considered high frequency DC-to-DC converter stuff. You know, 10 megahertz is, you know, geez, you're practically making an RF transmitter.
I've used a 4 and a 6 megahertz before. And I mean, they keep going up and right because it's like they're talking about losses in the switching FETs, right? That's usually what
The capacitance in the switching FETs is just horrible, you know.
Right.
But you can get ultra low capacitance switching FETs. And, you know, as the technology gets better.
Yeah. And as someone pointed out, take a look at the footprint on these things, too. It's got like all these.
Well, I can't see it because you haven't sent me a link, so.
Oh, it's on the subreddit, buddy.
Oh, yeah? Okay,
So anyways, let's see. RSJ Souza writes, buck converter at 10 megahertz, switching 10 amps without any external FETs, and smaller than an SMD push button. Dang, that's crazy. So I'll have to check that out more. TPS 54A20.
Right.
Wow.
Sweet. Yeah.
So chip of the week, thank you to RSJ Souza for submitting that. One last thing. We will be announcing directly after this, because we haven't actually picked it yet. We did a Twitter contest back in 301, and we had a bunch of people that actually tweeted about the episode. That was really great. So this will be for a Bullport subscription. And so listen in post credits, and we will insert the name there. That'll be like the post credits will be like a drum roll. You know?
Right.
Or I'll just forget to do it in editing. And
so
then
do you still own your drum set? Can you do a real drum roll?
Oh, well, I'm in LA right now, so it would be a long distance, you know. But maybe I could find a clip or something, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
Sweet. All right.
All right, man. Well, hey, you're going to be on vacation next week, but I will have someone to fill your shoes, you know.
No worries.
Maybe I'll have, you know, Alexa do it. Alexa, can you replace Dave?
Sorry, I didn't understand the question I heard.
Ah, she can do it. All right, man, have a good vacation.
Catch you next time.
And the winner of the Bullport Club subscription for 3 months for tweeting about episode 301 and sharing it with all your people that follow you is we sprung for the high-end sound effects there. Jameson Koppinger, or Tall Norsk on Twitter. So, congratulations, Jameson. Get in contact with us. Just email chris@theamphour.com and we'll get you your code for the Bullport thing. thanks everyone for participating. We appreciate it. We will do things like this in the future. If you want to give away something, or if you would like to participate, of course, you can always let us know. Feedback at theampower.com. That's all for now. Thanks again for listening.